Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and largest segment of society. To those who know that the world's religious, political, economic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, that all of these things are now counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us at any time over the next 2 hours, is toll-free, 877-376-45. And if we go silent for a moment or two, I understand that there's some technical challenges being worked out at GCN headquarters, and we'll switch from the Comrex voiceover internet protocol to the old standby, the telephone. We have a unexpected outage, so stay with us. Dateline is Washington, D.C. CNN has picked up the story. This story actually comes out simultaneously with a story about Reverend Wright. Remember Reverend Wright? He was the wacko, nut job, masquerading as a Christian whose primary message is that Jews were an abomination to the world. Yeah, he came across as the most Muslim of Christian preachers. It's as if he couldn't garner enough tribute paying customers into his establishment as a Muslim. So he said, you know, maybe Christians have more money. I'll talk to them. But same basic message. Just absolutely repulsive anti-Semitism. Well, Barack Hussein Obama, who was born of a Muslim father, who was raised initially in madrasas, fundamentalist Islamic schools, and who has constantly sided with Muslims, even when America's interests were at stake. For example, he vetoed the Keystone Pipeline. The Keystone Pipeline is an ode to Islam. Make no mistake about it. That is all the Keystone Pipeline is about. It's about nothing else. If you do not build the Keystone Pipeline, America continues to fund its own demise. We continue to send billions of dollars a day to the Saudi Arabians, the Kuwaitis, the Iranians, the Iraqis, all of those who are breeding the very jihadists who are terrorizing us and killing people around the world. We are funding it. But if we build the Keystone Pipeline, then our energy dependence shifts closer to home. And the Canadians aren't trying to kill us. The Canadians are not a majority Muslim country. And so the Keystone Pipeline was just another testament to this man's allegiance with Islam. So what did his administration say today? One of the most evil people I have ever witnessed, Susan Rice, who is his national security advisor. Susan Rice reminds me a lot of Condoleezza Rice in the sense that both are absolutely rotten to the core. You know, Condoleezza Rice is that person parading as the Stanford professor that is considered so bright and so witty and so charming, and she is the individual that was absolutely privy to America's decision to torture those that it kidnapped. Well, today Susan Rice criticized Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and especially his invitation to speak before Congress next week. She called the invitation and decision for America's only ally in the most troubled part of the world, Israel, to speak before an elected body, Congress, destructive. Imagine that. It's destructive to talk. All she's doing, of course, is echoing the anti-Semitism, the hatred of Jews in Israel by her boss. It's just the latest shot in a back-and-forth round between the White House and Netanyahu. The fact of the matter is it isn't a back-and-forth shot. This president has been overtly pro-Muslim and anti-Israel, and even anti the United States. The one thing that Giuliani actually got right, that this president prefers Islam over America. Rice said Tuesday that Netanyahu's decision to accept an unilateral invitation from House Speaker John Boehner behind President Barack Obama and his administration's backs injected politics and a degree of partisanship into the U.S.-Israeli partnership. Well, all they had to do to keep it from being partisan was to meet with Netanyahu. Take 5 minutes from the next time he wants to go play golf. You know, tee it up 5 minutes later. Play 17 holes. You don't play 18 holes. No. Don't have a hot dog and beer at the turn. Shorten your workout in the morning by 5 minutes. Meet with the prime minister of the most important country in the world. I say that because they are the catalyst for World War III. I say that because of the covenant promise Yahweh made to them. You can't take 5 minutes out of your schedule to meet with him, and then there is no partisan conflict. There's a partisan conflict because this president despises him, despises his country, and despises his race. Behind their backs. He didn't accept it behind their backs. The administration turned their backs on Israel. They turned their backs on Jews. That's what happened here. Netanyahu will address Congress next week, where he's expected to sound the alarm over Iran and negotiations underway in Geneva. The fact of the matter is, well, the administration is touting that they're really close to a wonderful breakthrough, and it'll be just like the last time that they played this game, and they gave Iran everything Iran wanted and got nothing. And this time, the Saudi Arabians, the Kuwaitis, et al., are now declaring an alarm. They say that because of the concessions the United States is making to Iran, that they have no chance, no choice to develop their own nuclear weapons. That the Saudi Arabians, recognizing the grand divide between Sunni and Shia Islam, and the advance of Shia Islam as a result of the United States' botched invasion of Iraq, have decided that it is a fait accompli now. That under this pro-Islamic administration, Iran is going to build a nuclear arsenal. And because the Sunni establishment, and fiefdom of Saudi Arabia, despises and distrusts the Shiite mullahs in Tehran, and now, as they have annexed Iraq, they have pledged to build their own nuclear arsenal. That is what Benjamin Netanyahu is going to speak of. You know, the United States was always into a mutual assured destruction, MAD. And that MAD was what kept the old Soviet Union from bombing the United States and the United States from bombing its old rival, the Soviet Union. That whoever instigated a nuclear attack would be sure to be destroyed. Now, the fact is that MAD actually didn't work. The reason that neither country bombed the other is because it would be stupid. Because there would be nothing to gain. Absolutely nothing to gain. I mean, you destroy the world. So, why would you do it? I mean, it didn't happen because it couldn't happen. Because it was unimaginable to happen. Well, the problem is with Muslims is that the construct that Muhammad created on behalf of himself and his wannabe God was that the only way to be assured that you would get Allah's promise of a perverted paradise was to die killing non-Muslims and peaceful Muslims. And so they have to die. They want to die. They want, the very thing they want is mutually assured destruction. Because they only get the Islamic paradise if they die killing others. Mutually assured destruction is their goal. Now Netanyahu won't put it in those blunt of terms. But that is the essence of Islam. Mutually assured destruction. And that is the reason why this man must speak to the U.S. Congress. And that is why this president doesn't want him to do so, because he's on the side of the Muslims. He is an anti-Semite. Interesting. Senior State Department official, this one in charge of counterterrorism programs. Now, there is no such thing as a terrorist in the sense of a doctrine. Now, there is a terrorist doctrine. It happens to be Islam today. You know, go back to the Civil War. It was the Lincoln's Union that was a terrorist enterprise. You go back to World War II. It was the United States. FDR, followed by Truman, deployed grotesque acts of terrorism on our foes. The American colonists used terrorist tactics against the native peoples in this country. Terrorism is a very common tactic, but you can't fight a war against terrorism because it's simply a tactic. And this idiot that is the State Department's official in charge of federal counterterrorism programs, well, he was arrested Tuesday. Guess what? He was arrested for soliciting sex from a minor. This is the kind of perversion that we have in this administration. Some 20 people, including senior officials, have been killed in an attack in a hotel in Somalia. I mentioned this to you yesterday. What I didn't share with you yesterday is what the Al-Shabaab spokesperson told the BBC. He said that they murdered the officials. They killed them while they were praying because they were apostates. They were praying an Islamic prayer. They were considered apostates, which means non-Muslims, by these Muslims, so that they deserve death. Now, what would cause a Muslim who is a jihadist and terrorist, engaged in terrorism, to kill another Muslim? Well, read the Quran. The Ninth Surah explains it. The Ninth Surah says that if a Muslim isn't engaged in jihad, he ceases to be, or she ceases to be, a Muslim. That individual becomes a hypocrite and apostate. And if a Muslim becomes an apostate, the Fourth Surah says, kill them. It's really simple. You know, a little bit of research, journalist, wannabe journalist, would have gone a long way in this case. Now we're going to talk about the bombing in the Islamic State of Libya when we return. Yesterday we learned that a Islamic State, at least someone who claimed to be part of the Islamic State, in Libya, has killed at least 40 people. Now it's interesting that Boko Haram is saying that they're part of the Islamic State, and they're all over Nigeria, Niger, Chad, Mali. And then you have the Islamic State claiming to have set up themselves in Libya. And just yesterday, a group committed a suicide bombing in Afghanistan under the name the Islamic State. And, of course, they're in Syria and they're in Iraq, and it's under the name of the Islamic State that they are terrorizing France and terrorizing Denmark. So what we have created is a local, insignificant, fundamentalist Islamic Sunni religious organization founded by an Islamic cleric, Abu Bakr. He's actually Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, as a direct response to America's invasion of Iraq, not so much to counter and kill Americans, but to counter and kill the Shiite Muslims America was empowering with this invasion, because those Shiites were now able to attack and kill Sunni Muslims with impunity, using American weapons. And so he was just a very small, insignificant irritant. A couple of suicide bombings, mostly against Shia Muslims here and there. He became fairly well known as the Islamic State in Iraq during the period whereby there was that civil war right before the surge in Iraq. Of course, it's vastly worse now than it was then. But he became fairly well known. And, of course, then every time that he was mentioned, his group, which was the Islamic State of Iraq, was always Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And it was never Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda had no presence in Iraq. And Al-Qaeda's agenda, I mean, the unique thing about Al-Qaeda is they went, they were never focused on killing other Muslims. Their agenda was never Shiite Islam. As a matter of fact, Osama bin Laden held a conference in Tehran to show you just how opposite the Islamic State is, killing with their primary focus to kill Shia Muslims, from Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda did not seek to kill Shiite Muslims. It didn't recruit Shiite Muslims, but it didn't kill them either. But the Islamic State in Iraq was created expressly to defend Sunni Muslims against Shia Muslims. And thereafter, of course, once the United States gave this enormous amount of weaponry to the Shiite Muslims in Iraq, the Shiite Muslims turned it on Sunni areas, and they began to pummel the Sunnis, and the Sunnis responded, and that's what made the Islamic State what it is today, because they integrated with the American Awakening program, that idiotic, stupid move that Petraeus made during the surge. And collectively, they became empowered. But then it wasn't until America declared war on them that they picked up franchises, if you will, that they became the rallying cry of fundamentalist Muslims worldwide. We have literally made our next enemy. We armed them multiple times along the way through the Awakening program and as the Free Syrian Army, that illusion of the moderate Muslims fighting Assad. And now, and we're arming them in the sense that they've captured the arms that we gave to their foes, the Shiite Muslims in Iraq. And now we're bombing them, trying to obliterate the very arms that we gave to them. But as you see, one of the things that I shared early on is that if you play into Muslim hands, which is declare war on them, what does a Muslim need to do? I mean, right at the core of Islam, now, Islam was created as a criminal enterprise. And the reward in the criminal enterprise is that you got to keep 80% of whatever you stole in the name of the religion. You got to rape anyone you wanted to rape. You could be a pedophile if you wanted to be a pedophile, and there was no shame in pedophilia, no shame in rape. You could enslave whoever you wanted to enslave. You could kidnap and sell off as ransom whomever you captured, and you could steal and keep. The stealing was now lawful and good. Read the 8th surah of the Quran. Whatever you wanted, you got to keep 80% of it. You gave 20% to Muhammad. But if you died killing for Allah, killing for Muhammad, according to Muhammad, you got multiple virgins in paradise. It was a win-win deal. So Muslims want to fight. They want to be killed killing. We're playing right into their hands. What's interesting about this story with the Islamic State now claiming to be in Libya, and what's fascinating here is that Sunni Muslims, and Sunni is from Sunna. Sunna means example. The Sunna is the example of Muhammad. Sharia law is based upon the example of Muhammad. So a Sunni Muslim is a Muslim who is following the example of Muhammad. The Sunnah, or the example of Muhammad, is found in only one place. Not found in the Quran. It's found in the Hadith. There are only four Hadith collections. Hadith means oral report. So the Hadith collections, there's only four of them that were committed to paper, that were written down within 250 years of Muhammad's death. They are the Sirah, which is the biography of Muhammad, which was the first, about 125 years after his death. The oral reports were committed to writing that creates a biography of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq, who collected these hadith. It's the most disgusting biography you have ever read. It is far more perverted, more repulsive than the biography of Adolf Hitler. And then Bukhari created a topical arrangement of Hadith. Only keeping the 3% of Hadith that were in absolute accord with the Quran, which, by the way, is Hadith. It's an oral report from Muhammad and his companions, passed on by the same people in exactly the same way, covering exactly the same topics. And then Muslim created his topical arrangement of Hadith with a great deal of overlap over the previous two. It's just also by subject. And then Tabari created the history of Islam, expanding on what Ibn Ishaq had chronicled. Those are the four. And combined with the Quran, that's all we know about Muhammad. Sunni Muslims are following Muhammad's example. Muhammad was a criminal. He was a thief, an armed robber, a kidnapper, a rapist, a pedophile. Islam is perverted today because Muhammad was perverted. Muhammad said, "I have become victorious with terror," because he wasn't just a robber baron. Muhammad wasn't a Robin Hood. No, he stole from everyone, particularly Jews and then Christians, but also Arabs. He robbed everyone within reach. Enslaved them, raped them, kidnapped them, tortured them. And he allowed his butchers to keep some 80% of what they captured. So Sunni Muslim is someone who's going to follow that example. That is why they are so repulsive today. Now, of this particular incident, 40 people were killed in this town very close to where the Egyptians bombed. You know, it was interesting last night that I was listening to the news, and they were all talking about the abduction of 150 Christians and Syrian Christians in Iraq by the Islamic State. So 150 Christians were abducted, kidnapped. They'll be abused. The women will be raped. The men will be killed. The boys will be sold into slavery. And they were talking about, you know, this falls on the heels of the Islamic State murdering 21 Christians in Libya. And by this time, anyone who is even half-witted knows that that video was a complete fraud. Not only were there only six people in the video and then them replicated, but it did not take place in Libya. And it did not take place. The whole thing was staged. But yet the media continues to parrot false information. Anyway, this particular attack, which was not faked, but also was not videotaped, said that it was in retaliation for the Egyptian bombing. And it says, "This is a massacre and a message to anyone who has attempted to attack the soldiers of the caliphate or any Muslim." So the caliphate here, the reporter put in Islamic State in brackets. The unified world of Islam is what they're saying. So the Egyptians attacked the Islamic State in a place where the Islamic State may not have even have been, for a crime the Islamic State faked committing for the express purpose of them wanting to be bombed, and retaliation for bombing them, the Islamic State terrorize some individuals who had nothing to do with the bombing. Welcome to the world of Islam. Here is that story that I was mentioning. CNN is reporting that Assyrians in northeastern Syria, and this is really interesting for prophecy, by the way. I shared several months ago, Isaiah 17 and 18, over a period of about a month on this program. And Isaiah 17 opens in Greater Syria, Assyria, if you will. And Greater Syria is Iraq, Iran. It would include present-day Syria. And it would even include the northern part of Saudi Arabia. And it is that area where governance crumbles, and where cities are left as twisted heaps of ruins, and where it is terrorists, Muslim terrorists, who perpetrate these attacks. and that after they have absolutely destroyed greater Syria, Assyria, then they pour into Israel by the hundreds of millions. And that they do so immediately after forcing the world, compelling the world, terrorizing the world to surrender the West Bank to them. And they will, of course, promise peace in return for the West Bank being given to them so they can create a mythical state called Palestine for a mythical people called Palestinians. And immediately after doing so, they will ravage Israel. Because they can't be trusted, because there is no honesty in Islam. There is no instruction in Islam not to bear false witness. As a matter of fact, Muhammad's example, his Sunnah, Sharia law, says that you ought to lie. The Quran says that a treaty between a Muslim and non-Muslim is not binding on the Muslim. Lie. So, what we have now in greater Syria, the Assyrians awoke yesterday to an Islamic State terrorist knock on their doors. The Muslims abducted 150 Christians. The Islamic State fighters, the Mujahideen, the jihadists, burst past a few men that were guarding the village, and they abducted children, they abducted women, they abducted the elderly. They killed the rest. 70 and between, well, we now know the number. This early report was between 70 and 100 people. The actual number is 150 were kidnapped. All of the women have already been raped, even the little girls, and they will be turned into sex slaves. This is the nature of Islam. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported that the Islamic State had abducted 150 Syrians. Assyrians, reliable sources told the London-based monitoring organization that they've overheard the militants talking on their wireless devices about having captured hundreds of crusaders. That's the term Muslims use to speak of Christians. And the reason they use that term, and they, like the Obaminator, like Barack Hussein Obama, go back 1,000 years, is because it was the last time that Islam prevailed. And so they just love to go back to that time. That's why Obama goes back to that time. In the village of Gibish, the Islamic State executed any citizen who was thought to have dealt with the Kurds, who, by the way, are fellow Sunni Muslims. About 700 Assyrian families managed to escape the onslaught, with 600 taking up refuge in St. Mary's Cathedral in Syria. The Assyrians, however, lack food. They lack other necessities for life, and they will certainly die. They are facing a massacre by the regime and by ISIS. Now, that's not true. This is a spokesperson for, I think, the Human Rights Observatory. The Syrian regime, this would be Assad, has protected Christians. The reason that there are thousands of Christians and Christian churches still in Syria, and there are Assyrian Christians in Syria, is because Assad protected them. The reason that there were almost 2 million Christians in Iraq before the U.S. invasion is because Saddam Hussein protected them. But when America invaded Iraq and gave all the weapons to the Shia Muslims, they began to annihilate them. And then we gave weapons to the Sunni Muslims, they began to annihilate them. And now there's less than 100,000 of the nearly 2 million. Now the same thing is true here, that the Syrian government isn't going to wipe out the Christians. They have protected them. The fundamentalist Muslims who wish to overthrow Assad that will annihilate them. It says everyone is fighting. Everyone else, they are all surrounded. You know, this makes it sound like it's a religious war between Christians and Muslims. And that just isn't the case. You know, it's like presenting the Crusades as the Crusaders were the invaders. That's just not the case. invaders were the Muslims. All the Crusaders were trying to do is reclaim what the Muslims had taken from the Byzantines. Many Mosul residents had fled after this article says Islamist extremists. They're not extremists. They're fundamentalists. Took over the city. It's Iraq's second largest city, speaking of Mosul. At the same time, the Islamic State issued an ultimatum to Christians living there. What do you think the ultimatum was? Convert to Islam, pay a fine and absolute humiliation, or death by the sword. Now, do you think they made it up? Do you think that this is an extremist view of Islam? Do you think this is something that the Islamic State was the first to utter? Are you that ignorant? Are you that politically correct? No. Muhammad phrased those words. They come from the Quran. This is Muhammad's edict. Muhammad decided that, yeah, you didn't have to be part of his religion. No, there should be no compulsion in religion. If you want to be in abject humility, totally subjected to the Muslim, giving up all rights and all your money, you can live. So here now, nearly 4 years in, Syria's civil war is raging. All under the Obamanator's hand, with UN officials reporting that more than 225,000 people have been killed. Now, mind you, every single death, 225,000 at a minimum, with 7.6 million people displaced, living impoverished lives, is all a direct result of the United States stupidly, counterproductively, dishonestly invading Iraq. Creating, I guess, the backdrop for the American sniper. But when Iraq was controlled by Saddam Hussein, Assad controlled Syria, they were buds. They were both Baathists. And there was no civil war in Syria. There was no civil war in Iraq. There was no Boko Haram. Islamic terrorism was very quiet by comparison to what it is today. But then we invaded Iraq, and we deposed Saddam Hussein, and we gave Iraq to Iran. And then Iran tried to accomplish what it did and what it could not accomplish when Saddam was there, to annihilate the Sunni Muslims in Iraq and integrate Iraq into Iran. Then Syria came under the control of Iran as well, as a direct result of what America had done stupidly. And then the Saudi Arabians and the Turks and the Kuwaitis and the Qataris all decided, wow, this Shia Islam is way out of whack. Look what America has done. We need to stop it, and we can stop it in Syria because the majority of Syrians are Sunni Muslims. They couldn't stop it in Iraq because the majority of Iraqis are Shia Muslims. And so they began to funnel American arms into Syria. And that is what caused the Syrian civil war. The spark for it, of course, was the Obamanator's speech in Cairo, where at the birthplace of the Muslim Brotherhood, he told Muslims that this was their time, that they should rise up, that theirs was a great religion. And as a result, there is the Syrian civil war between Sunni and Shiite Islam. Make no mistake, this is not a war between the Free Syrian Army and the Assad regime. This is a war between Sunni and Shia Islam. It was created because of the American invasion of Iraq. America is responsible for all of this. But, of course, it's not just Syria. It's also Iraq. It's engaged in the same civil war. The Islamic State, by the way, is now on the outskirts of Baghdad. They have no reason to take Baghdad. It's mostly Shia. But they can sure as hell continue to ramp up the death toll. This, then, is a dateline from Kandahar, Afghanistan. Gunmen and southern Afghanistan kidnapped 30 members of a Hazara ethnic community. Now, they were Shiite Muslims. The 30 people were kidnapped from two vehicles on a major road in Zabul. It's the province. The principal governor, Mohammed Ashraf, said he said authorities were trying to find those who were kidnapped. Although no group immediately claimed responsibility for the attack. Yeah, it's the Islamic State who the locals said perpetrated it. Everyone was wearing double masks, like the Islamic State's jihadists, the black mask of the Islamic State jihadists. The Taliban doesn't wear the black mask. They were carrying the jihad banners, often used in conjunction with the Islamic State. They claimed to be part of the Islamic State. The Taliban said it wasn't our raid. The Taliban isn't out killing Shia Muslims. The Islamic State exists principally, always has, and will continue to exist primarily to kill Shia Muslims. We have no dog in this fight. We ought not be there. All of those abducted were Shiite Muslims. The local government official said that the government, all wore the black clothing and the black mask of the Islamic State and carried their banners. And we contacted the Taliban, and the tribal elder said we were not behind it. Now the Islamic State, Daesh as they call them, the cutthroats, are in Afghanistan.